This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Help DEA keep our communities safe and healthy by participating in National Prescription Drug Take Back Day, Saturday, October 25th. Take action right in your own home by cleaning out your medicine cabinet of unneeded medications. Keep them safe, clean them out, take them back. Find a collection site near you at DEATakeBack.com. Do your part to lower overdose deaths and prevent prescription drug misuse before it starts. That's DEATakeBack.com.
When ordinary people think of autumn, they imagine shorter days, cozy fires, curling up with a great piece of literature, and basking in the warming scent of cinnamon with shades of burnt orange, which your other half has decided to spend the life savings on to decorate the home for only 2 months, just as God intended. Yet we must remember that this transition into the frosty abyss of winter creates the perfect conditions for the spread of the pathogen known as Halloween. This disease causes people to dress like demons and go door to door asking for free stuff. This public service announcement aims to give you the correct tool to help you deal with these contagious commie behaviors when they manifest in your local community. First, you'll want to arm yourself with multiple shots of the best-selling paperback on Amazon called The Nephilim Look Like Clowns. With this PPE, you're fully equipped and well protected to handle what's to come next. Second, have a pumpkin spice latte and white girl autumn your time away in knitted cream shackets and pilgrim hats, because soon enough, Samhain begins. This is when the veil between the spirit realm and the physical world is at its thinnest, and possession, the main symptom of Halloween, is more commonly presented, causing this type of unironic cringe to start happening. Just look at him. This poor soul thinks he looks cool. And if you're not careful, this could be you. Together, we can stop the spread of Halloween and flatten the curve. When you see fully grown adults playing dress-up and mirroring unspeakable horrors from beyond the void, remember your training and cure their vapid sense of self-identity by handing them one of our favorably reviewed treatments. Your country must develop herd immunity to seasonal cringe. So, spread the cure far and wide. Just like the cure, this disease does not discriminate by age. Emulating the infected, you will see children running around in bedsheets, knocking on doors, begging for sugary treats, and threatening to damage your well-earned property. Make sure to fill their novelty buckets with the one thing all children secretly want: a well-rounded and relatable education in biblical history. That'll stop the spread. The Nephilim look like clowns, and the inevitable boost of volumes are currently the only known cure to thinly veiled demon channeling holidays. This is your best defense against this pandemic of spooky proportions. All you have to do is trust the science. Which you know we did, because I'm showing you people wearing lab coats and looking serious. Get your copy on Amazon today, and be prepared for tomorrow. Side effects of reading The Nephilim Look Like Clowns include, but are not limited to, a feeling of existential crisis, a well-rounded knowledge of a Christian contrarian view on human history, a foundational understanding of spiritual warfare, and a healthy aversion to clowns.
Hello, everyone. How are we all doing? Come on in. Sit on down. It's Wednesday. Is it Wednesday? I'm losing track. It is. It's Wednesday evening, isn't it? It's time for another episode of Live Q&A. This one's kind of rolling off the back of the recent Truth or Therapy session, where I kind of did a bit of a last-minute discussion of a video that someone sent to me in the Telegram talking about this concept called Mole World. And I took it personally, if you couldn't tell. I took it very personally, because I, myself, am at least used to be a frequent visitor to this Mole World. And I think something that needed to be made clear, which perhaps I didn't make very clear at the beginning of the video, because I made a clip from the live show and released it yesterday with a few images to kind of back up what we were talking about. And that went viral. It's almost on 20,000 views in less than 27 hours. I think it's like 18,000 views right now or something. It's only been like one day. And it seems to have struck a nerve with a lot of people. Like, they really are like, it speaks to them in a big way, and I can get it, because again, it spoke to me in a big way. And the name Mole World is a little bit, I don't know, wrong in a sense. I think that's just like the catch-all mimetic language that was used, which can relate to people very easily, because everyone knows what a mall is, and the concept of a multi-shopped environment, or an environment that has many different things within it, shall we say, like a mall. But really, a mall world dream does not have to necessarily involve a mall, if you get what I'm saying. And I think that needed to be made clear, just in case people who are listening maybe think, well, I've never had one of those dreams. I don't dream about going to a mall. I think people need to know that that is not really what it means. It's just kind of a tag on name people have given to it, because it kind of explains the aesthetic of this type of experience. It's like being in a mall, shall we say, an endless array of new environments to explore, or new shops to explore in a literal sense of a mall. And I just wanted to like kind of cover it a bit more today because of the huge reaction it got from the video, and the comments are wild, but everyone's sharing all their dream experiences. The engagement is huge, because it makes people want to talk and say, I've been there, this is my version of it. And the patterns are unbelievable. Like, it's pretty much this, everyone's had the same experience, the same dream over and over and over again. You got the occasional people in there saying, yeah, this is just the brain processing places you've been, you know. And it's like, nah, people who have had a mall dream were like, no, it's not. No, it is. We know it's not that. You know what I'm saying? Like, forget those people who want to just palm this off as just basic, trivial human science, biology. You know, it's just dream stuff. It's just brain stuff. It's just signals. You know, it's nothing important. It's kind of, well, that's spoken like somebody who's never experienced the mole world for themselves, because it's intense when you actually go there, and you do leave with this profound sense, don't you? Like, I didn't come up with that. That wasn't my brain. That wasn't my mind processing information. I don't know where that came from, but I didn't make that up. And her conclusion, you know, the video I showed of the lady kind of discussing this concept and naming it, her conclusion is that, well, this is a bad place. This is a spiritual firewall that was created and projected by demons in our dream state to keep us distracted. It's to tantalize our senses and keep us moving from one thing to another continuously, aimlessly searching for things that are impossible to find in more world, because it's so much going on at once. You don't have time to think when you're there, and you're kind of swayed and whimmed to the dream, you know, and the narrative that you're creating in this more world, that it stops you from being able to hear God's voice, basically. It's not like God couldn't break through, don't get me wrong. Like, he has all authority and power in that situation, but it makes you not bother to listen. That's what this body was trying to say here, because you're too distracted by the more world that's been projected by the demons. So that's her interpretation of it. And she used language like it's a layer of programming, and I think the language is a little... but me personally, I think it's lacking to say it's just like a program within a program. And I'm not 100% sure it is like a demonic projection necessarily to distract us. Someone in the comments did make an interesting idea that they think it's like the first layer of hell, like a Dante's Inferno style. It's the Duat, as described in Egyptian mythology. You know, it's this place where the dead reside to go and get judged, but aren't necessarily being tortured. It's purgatory from Dante's Inferno, first level, you know. It's this place where people go when they die, who didn't know or accept Christ, but weren't like evil or bad necessarily, or, you know, it's kind of, it's a place of no joy and no happiness or something. But I don't know if that interpretation is true either, because it seems like you can experience all the emotions there. Definitely from my experience too. And it's something I think maybe warrants just a bit more thinking about, like, what could it actually be? Is the more world itself a message from God? Is it a profound experience to show that there are other worlds that are just beyond what you perceive, to make us kind of have that mindset that there is more to those who have these experiences in a way? I don't know. Probably not. That's probably a bit of a far stretch. But the experience in the dream is pretty intense. It's the only way I can describe it. You leave the dream tired. That's something I failed to mention in my own experience when explaining it. Like, when you leave the more world and you've had a full night of dreaming in that space, I feel like I ran a marathon at the end of it. I feel like I am not rested at all. I feel like I'm exhausted, mentally exhausted. Maybe a little bit physically when you first wake up, but your body catches up to your mind and you realize you are rested, you know, but mentally you're just so tired. You're done. You know, you're absolutely done. Because it exerted everything you had to get through the experience. Like, it really does. It's a visceral thing. It's like, it was as real as anything else when you were there. And someone left an interesting comment I want to share with you guys. I'm going to quickly just get up here before I share the screen. Actually, I won't share the screen because I don't want to dox the person. You know, I don't want to like show the person, you know what I mean? It's not fair. I think I'd have to... yeah, there's no way I'm going to be able to share this without accidentally giving people's names away. But someone did ask, and I'll read it. So first of all, they quote 60 minutes 16 into the video, and it's me. It's quoting me, basically. So, quote... She only started to get these demonic dreams and attacks from entities when she was being saved or going through the getting saved process. End quote. And then he quotes me again, accepting Jesus into your life. End quote. And this is their take on what I said. Possible plot twist. Getting saved is actually ritual permission for demons to come and play with you and do whatever they like to you. Why is it only Christians suffer demonic attack and possession? why do demons not go after non-Christians, since they are arguably vastly far easier to access, torment, manipulate, and drink deeply from? And that's a good question. I actually said, good question, I'll answer this on tonight's live show. That was my response. Because it is, and from an outsider, from the Christian perspective, it seems odd, like, well, why is it always Christians that have to deal with demons and no one else seems to know about them or do anything or have to deal with them, or it's not really a problem? And I would say, well, first of all, that's not true. That's just because you said that's the case doesn't mean that's the case. I have argued, and I've argued a lot, that every single human that's ever existed has experienced the demonic. All of them. There isn't a human that's alive on this earth that has not in some way come into contact with the spiritual realm and the demons and the entities on the other side in one major or minor way or another. They have definitely done it. They have. And the only difference is they just don't want to talk about it. They're scared to tell people because they fear what people will think of them. I think that's what's really going on. Because there's no way you can exist on this earth, which is infested with the disembodied spirits of the Nephilim, which we call unclean spirits or demons today, and not bump into them at some point or the other. You are inevitably going to, if you haven't already.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
We share the space with them. They're just in the spiritual aspect of the physical realm, and we primarily exist in the physical aspect of the spiritual and physical realm. It's one realm. There's no distinction between the two things. It's one side of the two sides of the same coin. You know, it's the warp and the woof of reality. The spiritual does not exist without the physical realm, and the physical realm does not exist without the spiritual realm. So they are the same thing. In a similar way, you could talk about, like, flowers and bees. Flowers wouldn't exist if there weren't bees around to pollinate them. And bees wouldn't exist if there weren't flowers around for them to be pollinating with. It's like, it's one, a flower and a bee seem separate to us, but one will not exist without the other, you know. And in a way, that's how the spirit world and the physical world kind of exists. It's just, that's just the dualistic nature of creation, shall we say. And that's the design that the creator gave to creation. God gave to creation, you know, the Father in heaven, whose son is Jesus Christ. Just to make that very clear who I'm talking about here. I'm not getting all new age on you, you know, but the creation itself has that nature to it. And people who live are in touch with the spiritual realm, whether they know it or not. Okay, so I think everyone encounters demons eventually. They do. And they just don't want to talk about it. So that first assumption that, well, you know, why do demons only come after Christians? I think it's actually just a false foundational take. It's a weak take. I don't think that's true whatsoever. But let's just humor your idea in that it does seem to Christians who talk about it more. I agree. Why are they always the ones that have all these crazy demonic attacks? Well, it's usually because the demonic attacks made them realize the truth in Jesus Christ and they were saved and born again because of the demonic attacks. Yeah, I think maybe you were putting the horse before the cart saying, you know, no, they become Christian, then they get attacked. It's not like that. Usually you're listening to Christians talking about when they used to be attacked before they were saved. That's more often the stories I hear. That's my story, you know. But my story was when I was coming to Christ for the first time, that's when the spiritual attacks ramp up. And I think this is something many Christians can attest to throughout their own born-again journeys. Maybe not those who were perhaps born into the church and raised in churches. They probably may not deal with this. But in many ways, there's arguments to be made that many people in the churches may not actually be as spiritually protected as they think they are as well in many ways. And maybe opening up and giving permissions and contracts to demons to access them in ways where they didn't realize they were making those permissions, you know. So there is that as well. And we'll get into the contract aspect of all this later on, but let's just circle back here and talk about, is it just Christians who get demonically attacked, and why not the atheists? Why do they not seem to have any issues with this? And I would say that actually isn't as crazy sounding as you're making it out to be. In fact, that's exactly how it would go if demons did exist. Because demons, you see, they want to have a body. They used to be kings and rulers on the earth, giant ones at that, who subjugated humanity and were considered gods among men. Now they're nothing. Now they're just a... how would you describe it? A ghost in a machine. Like, they have no body. They hunger and they thirst and they want to exert their will, but they can't because they haven't got a body to, so they're stuck on Earth with no body and no ability to influence or partake in anything or do anything. Yeah, they still have these desires and they're kind of like blending into each other all the time because there's no distinction between the sense of self anymore as they kind of spirit through the creation, you know. They're desperate to get into a body for just some peace of mind. And anybody who's been to the DMT realm knows you don't want to spend eternity there. Count yourself lucky you get to come back after 15 minutes, you know. But for these entities, it was stuck there forever. It's practically torture and hell for them. They're going insane, delusional, in fact, you know. So they want to get into a body, your body. And the optimal situation for a demon desperate to dwell in a body to have some peace of mind away from the chaos of the DMT realm, the spirit realm, you know, and to be able to feel and taste and smell and see things once again through your body. Well, ideally, they don't want you to know they're there. Because as soon as you realize you've got a parasite living within you, well, there's only one thing to do when you've got parasites. It's time for a cleanse. And the only cure for demons is Jesus Christ. So, ideally, a demon who wants to exert influence and its will onto a person to get them to do things that the demon wants it to do so it can satiate its desires would be that the vessel it is parasitically feeding off of doesn't know that it's there. So it does it slowly, carefully, strategically. And would probably influence the person as much as it possibly could to avoid Christianity. Because as soon as you realize what Christianity is and what Christ did, cast demons out of people, and you realize you've got a demon in you, well, that demon's days are numbered and it knows it. So it would rather you'd never figured that out. And it would rather keep a low profile around those who are not saved. So those who suddenly are becoming saved, perhaps haven't fully given up themselves to Jesus yet, but at the same time are reading the Bible, reading the Word, studying, finding out the truth, praying to God, trying their best to kind of understand God and build that relationship, you know. Well, the demon's in panic mode by that point. And I think demons are selfish, prideful, bitter, full of hubris and hatred towards humanity. They kind of like their pleasures. They don't really want to give you up because you're useful to them and you've been feeding them like a good person for decades, perhaps, you know. You've been a good little addict for them, partaking in that heroin or cannabis or nicotine or alcohol or sex or pornography or name your vice or stupid thing that you're addicted to. The demon's been loving that and you've been serving them well and feeding their desires so well for so many years. And then you had to go and get Christianity, didn't you? You had to go and pick up that damn book. And now you're going to eventually get rid of me. You're going to get filled with the Holy Spirit and I'm going to get kicked out. So in that period, you'll tend to find that's when demonic attacks happen. That's when people get attacked by the demons. That's when that thing starts to happen that everyone will inevitably experience at some point in their life if they haven't already. That's when they start to lash out, kick and scream and panic. And I think the demon's mentality is, well, if I can't have you, nobody can. And that's when they try and kill you. That's when they get all the buddies to gang up on you. That's when they get all the demonically oppressed people that they're already in around you in your life to start ruining your life. That's when things start going downhill for you drastically. And that's usually when they try and kill you. Or make you kill yourself, whatever, they don't care. You're no longer useful to them, and they're certainly not going to let you stick around long enough to be useful to Jesus and to further the kingdom of heaven. So that's why Christians are primarily heavily demonically attacked. And then if it's too late and you realize your authority, you called on Jesus at the moments they tried to kill you, and you cast them out in your authority that you have over them now, thanks to Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross and the authority given to you through him, by him, well, then you're free. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. You can't be possessed anymore. However, you can still be oppressed by demons. They're still around. They're just not in your body anymore. So what do they do? Well, there's plenty of agents in the Matrix around you, plenty of Agent Smiths who have not done any work to deal with their demons, spiritually speaking, from a biblical Christian standpoint, and entered the Holy Spirit dwell in their vessel and cast out these demons. So they're in full control and influenced by the demonic energies within them, and that's when the demons will attack you via other means. They'll send people into your life to ruin your life. And that person will be completely ignorant that they're even coming into your life to ruin your life. Because that's just how it works. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We need to be wise to the weapons used against us so we can fully arm ourselves. And the only way to protect yourself is to put on the full armor of God. The full armor of God. And a lot of people don't know that. They don't think about this. And a lot of people think, oh, Christianity, here we go. What a lot of just nonsense, you know. Abrahamic, desert-dwelling religion that has no basis on reality today. That means nothing to me whatsoever. And yeah, you know, it can seem like that for a long time until you're attacked by demons. And then calling on the name of Jesus Christ makes it stop and your life significantly gets better after the fact. That can be pretty convincing. Very convincing. Convinced me. And it's never failed me since. And things have drastically got better since giving myself over to Christ and building a real relationship with the Father through him. So I would recommend it. You know, 10 out of 10 would recommend. Get some Jesus in your life. And in terms of this whole more world situation, circling back, you know, this more world discussion and me bringing my faith up clearly made this person ask this question and want to understand, like, oh, why? Surely demons would appear themselves to those who are not believers. It'd be easier, right? And it's kind of like, well, I would say they do. They do in many ways. They ruin people's lives. People who don't have Jesus in their life, who are open to parasitical demonic infestation, don't always have the best life. They don't. They suffer greatly. Their sins have consequences, drastic, horrible consequences that they will have to pay for in the physical life and in the next life, you know. And yeah, mess around, find out is a situation, isn't it? You play with fire, you get burned. And I would imagine people who are fully given over to their vices and are really, really, really messed up, you know, yeah, they're going to suffer greatly at the hands of demons. They just don't know it. They don't realize that that's what's going on. They don't realize they're being influenced. They think their thoughts are their own half the time, and sometimes they are. People can just still do bad things. I'm not absolving humanity of sinful behavior. The majority of the time, the demons are just trying to convince the person to make the bad choice that they probably already wanted to make to begin with. They're just making it easier, you know. That's kind of the issue, isn't it? That's spiritual warfare at its finest. And I think this whole more world situation has touched on a nerve. I think it's really got to the core of a problem that people are experiencing. And dreams are personal. Dreams are like a really personal thing, aren't they? But suddenly when you realize everyone's dreaming of the same thing, it makes it less personal. And you realize this is something bigger. Something weird's going on. Things aren't as they seem. So I think these kind of experiences and these discussions at least open people's eyes up to the idea that maybe there is something spiritual going on here. And if they're going to start asking spiritual questions and getting into spiritual concepts, I don't want them to waste their time, personally. I would like them to just cut to the chase and get to the truth straight away. And that is the biblical perspective. That is the truth in Jesus Christ. That I'm not telling you churchianity. There's so much corruption in those institutions, it's unbelievable. No, you don't need to go join a 501c3 or some kind of cult. You just need to have a personal relationship with the Son of God. And you can do that just by praying to him and talking to him and asking for it. And you will receive. And that's all you need to do. I'm not telling you to sign up to anything. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a preacher. You know, I'm not a church or anything like that. I don't think you need any of that. I think you just need to read the word is a good way. Start with the one you can understand the most before you get into all the which version should I read stuff, you know, just read the word. I don't care which one. No matter which version you read, you'll find Jesus in there, you know. And then start building a real relationship with him, and then you'll realize spiritual warfare is very real, and that's when the demons will come. So be ready for that. Be ready for that. And no spiritual firewall in your dreams will ever hold up. You know, in terms of more world dreams for me today, I don't have them very frequently or often at all anymore like I used to. My dreams now are far more profound, shall we say. I'm not distracted in them. I'm clear. And there's a message I need to learn in every dream. And I try my best to decipher and figure out that message. I'm not chasing things or being chased anymore, like in these more world dreams often were. I'm not lost. I'm foundationally grounded in my dreams now, more so. But when I was going through the transitional period of being saved and before that, I was in this place all the time. I think symbolically, even metaphysically, there's something about that. I'm no longer wasting my time running around or focusing on the trivial nature of a mall or a place that is tantalizing my senses, but rather I am having real, true experiences in my dreams that I know I'm going to grow from, and that a message is trying to be given to me or a lesson is trying to be taught to me in some way. And I am in more ways in control than I used to be.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
So I think being saved is not giving permission to demons to mess with you. Not even a little bit. I think when you are becoming saved or get saved, demons just lash out. And it, maybe if you want to interpret that as now they have permission to mess with you, I guess you could, but that's not what's happening. Because there comes a point where it stops. And there comes a point where you change. You drastically change who you are as a person. And you no longer have the desires or the cravings or the needs or wants to do those things you used to do, because maybe it wasn't you who actually wanted to do them. And now maybe you finally are, as a child of God made in his image, as you were supposed to be in the beginning, living as you were intended to be, as he created you to be, isn't a drug addict, porn addicted, junk food eating, TV obsessed, narcissistic, psychopathic egomaniac. Maybe that's not who you really were. And maybe those things you thought you were beholden to, you weren't. And when you're born again, you're made new, as you should be, as God intended you to be when he knew you before he sent you into the earth. and he has a plan for you, a life that you want to live, the perfect life, already mapped out. And we tend to want to go our own way, don't we? And we think we know best. And when we go out and do that, we end up ruining everything and living in misery and squalor, and everything gets worse drastically. But when you step into the path laid out for you by God, it's the life you've always wanted. It's everything. He knows you. He knows who you are and what you want and what you need to have a fruitful existence here. And he wants to give it to you. It's your inheritance. Take it as a member of his kingdom. And I can attest that since being born again, since 2014, my life has drastically improved. I am not the same person I used to be before then. And I didn't work to get like that. No, I put some effort in, don't get me wrong. I quit the cannabis. I went through the withdrawal symptoms. I stopped all the drugs. I worked hard. I got a job. I built a family. I had children. I got married and I did all the things I was supposed to do, you know, that actually brought joy and more abundance and growth into my life. I had the experiences. I've been through the trials and tribulations. Even right now, I'm still going through them and always learning and growing. But I have this peace and this knowing that I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. And God is looking after me every step of the way. And I don't have any greed or wants or envy or a list or hatred or unforgiveness or any of that stuff I used to have anymore. It's gone. And it brings you a peace, a real peace that you don't get until you have that transformative being saved moment. And I'd recommend 10 out of 10. I'd definitely recommend it. Like, if you haven't already, try it. Give it a go. You won't go back, that's for sure. So I hope that answers the question for the person who left that comment. I don't know if they're here or not. I have no idea. Maybe they'll never see this, but maybe you listening right now, maybe this is for you instead. Maybe this, you'll get something out of that message. So there's my opening half an hour rant. I'm not going to go too long today because it is late for me. It's 11 p.m. in the evening. I have been going through absolute hell right now. You know, that being said, I am at peace, but you know, like I said, life is still not without its tribulations and problems. And this October has been kicking the living daylights out of me and my wife and my family. Since October came round, it's just been one terrible event after another, like one horrible thing after another. You can tell I'm tired. I think you can tell I'm tired, right? And I've been having moments and breakdowns and picking myself back up and carrying on, just get knocked back again and the next thing and the next thing. It's, my wife can tell you, it has just been absolutely awful. Like, and it all started with a simple eye test for my son at the start of the month, potentially developing into he might have a brain tumor. Again, they're going through the stress and the possibilities and the tests and the hospital visits of that, to then, you know, just one thing after, just constant. And then to find out that a holiday that we've had planned for a long time, which we've sunk thousands of pounds into, might possibly last minute being cancelled because of things completely out of our control. And now we're in a horrible waiting period to find out the news of whether that's going. Then having to buy backup flights, which, and we might be in a situation where we lose money rather than gain money, have to spend more money just to be able to have the damn holiday. And then on top of all that, it finds out also chickenpox might be coming into your family now as well, which might cancel the whole thing as well. And it's like, if that wasn't bad enough, then you've got this thing that might be looming in the distance, ready to crop up at any bloody moment. It's just, and then today the check engine light comes on, and now the car needs to go to the garage. The brand new car we just spent thousands of pounds on as a new family car, because our old one bled to death on the drive. It's just one thing after another, and it's always happening in the middle of one disaster, while our children, my newborn, has decided, oh, I'm just not going to sleep anymore. No, I'm going to scream and stand up every time you get me back to sleep. I'm just going to keep doing it over and over and over again until it's midnight and I haven't slept at all. And yeah, all of that's been happening. Like, I am sleep deprived, just bleeding money on things completely out of our control that are necessities to survive, on top of it, one diabolical health scare after another that I've told you happened. It's never what's been happening to me in the scans I've been having to have, and my wife as well has been going through a nightmare of a time with polycystic ovaries, and it's just October is kicking the crap out of us. And it's got to the point now where it's like all I can really do is just cleave onto Jesus and ride through this storm, holding onto him as tight as I possibly can until it's done. Because it's just like, I don't feel like I have any control over this. I feel like it's a targeted attack. It feels like I am just being berated by one thing after another. And I didn't even mention the personal, vicious, disgusting, smarmy, backhanded, cowardice attacks I've been getting online from people who want to question who I am and what I do. Never mind judging me by my works, but judging me by trivial things like shapes. Not even mentioning that. It's just one thing after another. But there's some good news. Some good news. In all those moments of chaos, I found some time to play with my son, and we did some origami. Look at this. It's a lily. Isn't that nice? Isn't that lovely? I made two. One for him, one for me. He got, you know, blue and pink because it's the only card we have. A turquoise and a rose coloured. Look at that. Isn't that nice? Now, I used to make these all the time as a kid. Like, my mum got me an origami book. And this is the one thing I used to make over and over again. I can make it by memory. I don't even need the instructions. And I was there with my about to be 4-year-old. Making it with him. And it's moments like that that kind of make it all worth it, you know. And not only that, look at this fish. It's got googly eyes. Isn't that cool? It's an angel fish of all things. And then you've got the classic swan. Can't go wrong with this. Well, it's a crane, actually. You can't go wrong with that. You can kind of make its wings flap if you get it just right. Well, that one doesn't. And we made ice cream vans. Look at this little truck. And we called this one Mr. Cream. And there he is, giving us some ice cream. So we have some fun in between all the misery and the horror and the pain as you try and protect your children from the harsh realities of existing in this fallen, disgusting, depraved world. It seems my moment of respite in this entire month was folding paper with my son. So that was nice. Yeah, that was nice. Anyway, I'm going to stop there right now and have a quick break, have a drink, and we'll come back. And how about we have a bit of a Q&A, as this show is actually called. Get your questions in, and we'll just talk for half an hour or so. So bear with me, guys, as I play a song for you. I don't know, what should we do? Should we do something a little bit different? I've got my little slideshow here. Tell you what, I'll play one of my songs. I'm going to play New Age Hippie for you. In contrast to the biblical gospel message I was preaching, at the same time, there's some people out there who still want to think they're a god instead. So here's a song I wrote years ago about this idea. Enjoy this as a quick break, guys. I'll be back in 2 minutes.
Do you seek? I see you're after mystery. I bet you're a new age hippie. That could be wrong, it all depends. Do you drop acid with your friends in the hopes of seeing something pretty? And do you like it underground where the bass is bouncing all around and you're dancing to something trippy? Well, walking home is no fun when eyes are wide and jaws are numb and you got no shades in Sunrise City. Someday you will say that there's only really one way. And you know about names that change while the game remains the ascend, and consciousness is your best friend. Come on, man, you're a new age hippie. you think you're a god, and in the end you'll rise above the thrones of the all high and mighty. Duality's your deity, your mantra is, it came from me. You'll yell it loud, proud and haughty. Well, don't you know it's all a lie, and when you do, you can't deny. My, what a pity. Well, someday you will see that there's only really one way. You know when the names change, but the game remains the same. Or someday you will see that there's only
You know, it's funny. Someone left me a comment on one of my last videos where I played that as the break song. And he said to me, is this just sitting, waiting, wishing with like slightly different lyrics? And I was like, what is he on about, sitting, waiting, wishing? And I went and listened to it, and it's a Jack Johnson song, and it clicked. I remembered all of a sudden. And the song is like, well, I was sitting, waiting, wishing you believed in superstitions and maybe you'd see the signs. And I was listening to the thing and the strumming pattern. And then I remembered I used to listen to that album all the time as a teenager, the Jack Johnson album. And that's when I realized I'm a fraud. I have basically just copied and pasted that entire lyric. Not the lyrics, but the tune and the jam and everything, and put my own lyrics over it. And I didn't even know I did it. I'm a liar. I'm a fraud. Everything I've created is just, it's just plagiarism, clearly. I just need to pack up my music career and go home. Clearly, that influenced me massively, and I had no idea until years after the fact, a decade after the fact. So it's over. I'm a fraud. It's done. There we go. There are slight differences. Don't worry. It's not a carbon copy at all. But I just thought it was funny. A bit of a tidbit there behind the scenes. Great song, Paul. I'll keep you and your family in my prayers. My check engine light came on too last night. Yeah, it's just. It looks like I'm low on oil. Engine oil needs topping up. So I'm hoping it's nothing major and no damage has been done while the engine oil has been low. But thankfully the dealership we bought it from, even though I'm out of warranty, said, I'll just bring it in and we'll top up your oil for nothing, don't worry about it. So that's a small mercy too. That's good, isn't it? So you know, God's still looking after us, God is still providing, and I have faith it'll all just work out in the end. I really do. So I tend not to worry too much about it, but I can't help in the moment feel it. it's happening, you know, and it's rough and it's like, oh, here's another thing. Here's just another thing. One thing after another. Absolutely. Paul's wife is lucky. She's sure she's a lucky gal, isn't she? She's married to a crazy conspiracy theorist.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
No one to shut up. Isn't she just lucky? count me for the one up in case I miss you in the future, Jeff. I missed that. I don't know what that's on about. Sounds like Ed Sheeran. Ha ha ha. I never heard that one before. You lose your accent when you sing? Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't, actually. I've got some songs where I don't. I don't know. My accent is a lot stronger these days than it used to be. I used to live on the other side of England in Lincoln, and they have a slightly different accent than they do in the Northwest. They have a Lincolnshire accent. I have a Lancashire accent now. So perhaps when I wrote those, my accent was actually different. Because I'd lived there for quite a few years and picked up a thing or two. But also, even by like Lancashire standards, and my accent isn't that strong. It's a lot stronger nowadays. I'm a bit more broader than I used to be because I've kind of given up trying to pronounce things correctly, to be honest. I just don't care anymore. But in the past, you would have thought I had elocution lessons. You know, I'm quite a posh sounding northerner to most northern standards. So maybe that's why. Maybe I don't know. But yeah, I have a lot of songs. My accent is really broad. Maybe I'll play a few in the past. In the future, I made them in the past. Maybe I'll play them for you in the future. But right now, I don't have any to hand. Love it. Never shut up. All right, Kendra. Yeah, you make some great music with just three chords. Yeah, nothing. All it takes is three chords. Absolutely. Higher pitch, like Ed. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. I didn't take it personally. Don't worry. I always joke that Ed Sheeran kind of ruined my music career because it doesn't matter what I do or where I go, people just come back and say, "Oh, you look like Ed Sheeran," and that's it. They expect me to start singing A-Team, and I can't win now. I can't get on stage without everyone saying he looks like Ed Sheeran. So Ed Sheeran is officially ruined my music career before he even got off the ground, just by existing. That's it, basically. Thought it sounded familiar, says Christy. Stupid commercials every 5 minutes now. YouTube is soulless, says Jeff Nugent. I'm sorry, Jeff. Yeah, I don't have much control over when YouTube decides to put adverts in. A channel that isn't even monetized will still have a lot of adverts on it, and they won't pay the creator. They're just piling it on now. I think they want you to buy premium. That's why they do it so much. And I'm not going to lie, as somebody who does own premium, I cannot go back. It's nice having ad-free YouTube. It is actually incredibly pleasant. And I suppose, because I do use it every single day for hours a day for work and for pleasure, I'm getting my money's worth. Like, I don't pay for TV or Netflix or anything like that. You know what I mean? I don't have any of those subscription services. So it's kind of, for me, I'm okay paying for YouTube because it's what I do. It's what I use. And I'm all right with that personally. So that's all I can say. All songs eventually start to sound similar. But for any musician, they do, yeah. Shout out to all my ex-New Age hippies out there, says Chris. Your family needs some prayer warriors to pray for you, Paul, says Keys to the Kingdom. Well, Keys, if you want to pray for me, I will take it. I am not above asking for prayer. Pray for me and my family, please, guys. I need it. I really do. And pray I get some sleep eventually. I swear I just heard him make a noise. I think I feel like he might be about to start screaming any second now. Yeah. It's just the cycle begins. Never dreamt of more world or toilets, but had three reoccurring dreams for years and also was a lucid dreamer as a child. I could wake up, use the bathroom, go right back to the same dream. I've had those dreams too, where you can kind of continue the dream. I have had that a few times. I've had a lot of, I don't know, my dreams are, when I was younger, they used to all be nightmares. But as I get older, they're not scary anymore. And it's not like the nature of them have changed. My perspective has changed. No fear. You know, as a child, it's scary to be in more world. As an adult, it's not. And it's also more of a transcendence of it, in a sense, you know, like I'm above more world now. But when that, it's just that peace I was telling you about earlier. It it comes through to your dreams as well. Even when your dreams get scary, you don't fear because you have authority, you have power, you're with Christ with you. Like, who can defeat you? It's that type of thing. 110k, Paul. Woo, yeah, that's right. I passed 110,000 subscribers yesterday or today. It kind of ticked over there. 10,000 extra subscribers in less than a month. That's ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous. Like, the traction that suddenly builds when you kind of get higher up. Is it? I think Jordan Peterson said this phrase. I think he was quoting something from the Bible, but it's like, to he who has everything, more will be given, and to he who has nothing, more will be taken away. That's kind of like God's, the way things work on the earth, in a sense. And it does feel like that. Like when something goes wrong, more things tend to go wrong quickly, and you can very quickly spiral to the bottom as a result. And when things start going right and one thing good happens, and more good things are always around the corner very quickly, aren't they? And you can very quickly exponentially improve, but it works the other way. You can exponentially go down if you're not careful and you don't try your best to avoid the negative things happening or correct things. And there's also just a level of arbitrary nature to existence where things will just go wrong because sometimes things just go wrong and there's nothing you can do to prevent it, no matter how much you prepare. Life is like that too. Which is why we're kind of told not to build up treasures here on earth, but to build up treasures in heaven. That's the only thing that matters. It's the only thing that can matter and in the end, because nothing here will last. Nothing here is permanent. It's all just sand through the fingers. It's vanity. All is vanity. Much vexation of spirit. My copy of your book should be here today or tomorrow. Thanks, Paul. Love your work, bro. Ryan from New Zealand. Oh, yeah. The New Zealand. Yeah. I sent them out the other day, didn't I? Yeah. Good. I'm good to hear that. I'm glad to hear that. Enjoy it. It's got a signature from yours truly in there. If anyone else wants to get a signed copy, like Ryan from New Zealand, of the Nephilim Look Like Clowns hardcover, I can send that out for you from here. It's just, it depends where you are. But to cover tax and shipping from the UK and print costs and postage costs, it is £60 to the US and New Zealand. I think it might have been a bit more for New Zealand, I'm not sure. But if you're in the UK, I can do it for £50. It's not a problem. That's for the hardcover version. It's £40 for paperback, but I don't have paperback. So for hardcover, because of the weight, it significantly increases the postage cost, unfortunately. So if you want a signed copy, it's £60. Just email me at understandingconspiracy@gmail.com and we can arrange to get that sorted and out to you if you're interested. It's a good way to support me. I get 100% of the profits. No Amazon cuts, you know what I mean? So if you want to get something from me personalized with a signature, email me at understandingconspiracy@gmail.com and we can get that done, guys. I'll pass my copy along. I have Paul's book and I'm willing to mail it to anyone who's interested. There we go. So Crikey's also offering to mail a book out to anyone who's interested, guys. I love this channel. Glory to Jesus, says His Will. Oh, thanks for being here. I'm glad you like what I do. I'm praying you have peaceful floating in clouds dreams. That would be nice. It's never happened once. It'd be nice if that did happen. How is your car situation, Paul, says Cracky. Well, you know, like me and my wife did have two cars, very old cars from like, mine was a 2011, hers was a 2012, little runabouts. She had a Corsa, I had a Astra J, and mine just literally bled to death. There's still a massive black oil patch on the front of my drive now, which I can't get rid of. And hers was just the power steering kept going. It was basically a death trap. Yeah, any moment you just wouldn't be able to turn and you might go spiraling into the hedge or something. So luckily it never happened and the steering always went when we had a chance to be safe, but they both had to go basically. So we had no car and we have two kids. So I put out an appeal for help because we had no money. The money we had saved was only so much, you know, we had like maybe $2,000-$3,000 saved. And we needed a family car that would last, you know, that's reliable. We found one for 11 grand. It was a Peugeot 3008, and it was perfect. And the mileage was low. It was a petrol, you know, it was a 1.2, so not a powerful engine, but enough for the UK roads. If you know what the UK roads are like, you don't really need a big engine, because it's just small, windy roads, you know, most places you go. And it was big enough to fit us all in, a decent-sized boot. It would last us a while. It was relatively new. It was a 2019 version, and we got it, you know. And with help from you guys, so I've got a lot of support from people, we managed to get it up to a point where I only had to borrow £4,000 from my dad instead of getting it on finance. Because my father's about to retire. They got inheritance from his mum who died, my grandma who died not that long ago. So they had this excess money, and they managed to help me with that as well. So thankfully, all glory to God and the help from you guys, we didn't have to get an extremely high interest loan to get this new family car, which is wonderful. And we've had it now for a few months, 3 months, I think. And today, a light came on, and it's the oil, red symbol for the oil thing, just flashing, and a spanner. And we looked it up, and it's like, well, either it's nothing and the sensor's just a bit dodgy, because you were on a bit of a hill and the oil sensor thought there was no oil. Or it's you just need to top up the oil, so nothing. Or it's a detrimental £4,000 replacement of the fan belt or something like this, or some kind of belt on the engine, and it's going to cost you about £2,000 to £4,000 to fix, which is a common problem apparently with 1.2 PureTech engines. And it's like, oh, for God's sake! So it's either nothing at all, which I can fix tomorrow, or we've just wasted thousands of pounds on a brand new car, which is about to die on us and cost us thousands of more to keep alive. Great. It's either one or the other. And guess what? We're in that limbo stage. We don't know till tomorrow. So have fun thinking about that, Paul, while you try and get some sleep. It's like, great. So that's my car situation right now. Fully laid out for you guys. but again, I can't complain, because we were in a bad situation and God provided through your help as well, you know. And I have no doubt that whatever happens with the car now, it'll all get sorted. It's just bad timing, because we're in a situation now where we're supposed to be going on holiday in a couple of weeks and we need the car. So that happened as well. Never mind the whole chicken pox thing and the flight cancellation thing that's looming on us and all this other stuff. It's of course this would happen today is all I'm saying. Of course it would. Why wouldn't this go wrong as well? It's one of those. My question is, can I be filled in on what this is? Thank you. no, just start from the beginning and watch it on 2x speed. That's the best way. With our newborn, that's now 6 children. We have 2 cars. Not like I'm going anywhere right now. Interest rates are horrible here, says Lynn. Yeah, they gouge you for everything in the UK, especially. I'm going to start calling gas petrol. I like it. Well, you have a petrol engine or a diesel engine. That's how we distinguish between the two. And yes, you have diesel and gas. Is that what you say over there? You crazy backwards people. I don't know what you're on about. Yeah, we call it petrol. It's petroleum, isn't it? Yeah. I think we have like E10 and E8 or something. I can't remember what standards they have here. Let us know if you need help again. Hopefully not. Hopefully it's a nothing. Yeah, like I said, it's just a quick oil top up and the thing will disappear. But it seems like it may have needed oil for a long time. Hopefully not. And we may have caused damage to the engine driving around without oil, even though we got no warning. I don't know. We don't know. We don't know if there's any damage been done, because we had to drive for a while to get home with this warning light on, and then we were worrying that we're just causing more damage. And again, it's just one of those things. So tomorrow I'm driving it to the dealership we got it from, and they said, oh, we'll just top up the oil for free, don't worry about it, and hopefully there's no issues. But I feel like maybe they're conning me. Like, now it's a case of, oh yeah, we knew this would happen, and now we've got you back in for free, we're gonna tell you it needs a full replacement, mate. We can do it here at this garage, you know, and charge me up. Maybe that's what's going on. I have no idea. We'll see. I have a 67 Beetle. I'm very frugal. Apparently, it's more expensive to keep an old car running for that long, surely, right? Calling it petrol just sounds funny to me, but what do I know? I'm from Texas. Yeah, forget my language to you Americans out there.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Sometimes it's odd. What I say the other day, like, my son was in the trolley and we went to open the boot and his packet of crisps ended up on the floor and he screamed and cried about that because the wind took it. And everyone was like, Paul just said the most British sentence in the world. Trolley, boot, and crisps. It just made me laugh. Oh, that was quite funny. At least we drive on the right side of the road. You do not drive on the right side of the road. We do. You should at least check the oil before you drive again. You can ruin the engine driving even a tiny bit with no oil in it. Well, the thing is, I checked the oil and there is oil in there. So this is why I'm even more concerned. Like, I've checked the dipstick and everything and it's in the middle of the full and hot and low line. So there's not no oil. I think it's just warning me, top it up before it gets too low. I'm hoping that's all it's saying right now. And we can get it fixed and back on the road in no time. And there's no issues and no damage. That's the aim. We'll have to see. Metric system is based on the globe. Boo. Okay. Paul repopulates the world. Am I repopulating the world? We follow Christ, and Paul speaks on many topics through the biblical lens and worldview and has a large body of research showing how the Nephilim, ancient giants, look like clowns and are now demons. That's pretty much a good summary of who I am, yeah? That's right. I just came off a podcast before this one. I was with Brad from the Awakened podcast, and we did another Nephilim look like clowns discussion, and we got into Christ at the end as well. So it was a good one. It was a good talk. That's coming out in a couple of weeks, and I'll share it on my channel when I can as well. Bad sensor, my vote. Well, again, if it's got oil in it and it's doing that, then yeah, I think it's just a bad sensor. Or the oil just needs topping up. I'm hoping it's just a dodgy sensor. I think it's a common thing, again, which is nothing cheap enough to replace. But if the engine belt's got wet, they can come flying off, which is catastrophic. Apparently that's a common problem as well, and it could be an early sign that that's happening and there's the belt's been torn and as a result it's got into the filter. And I'm hoping it's not that, because if it's that, it's we need to spend hours taking the whole engine apart and replacing a belt, and man hours and costs and parts will be like $2,000 to $3,000 or something stupid. I'm hoping that's not the situation. I don't know anything yet. I'll know more tomorrow. That's all I can really say. It is oil pressure. There's an oil pressure issue because it's telling me to fill up with oil. Do you get what I mean? So, yeah, that is exactly the problem. That the light is telling me it's an oil pressure problem. And then it's also saying top up oil. So we'll just see what happens. I mean, we only just got the thing 3 months ago and it had a full service. So I'm a bit concerned that it went through that much oil so fast. But apparently this is just what this car does. Apparently, I'm looking at forums and... great, you know, I never topped up my oil once on the old car. Like, well, not in between services, you know what I mean? I never bothered. So it just seems odd that this happened here. We measure things in freedom units in Florida. That's right, that's true. I have heard that from across the pond. Check your belt, yes. Yeah. You seem sprightly for almost midnight, Paul. When do you go through the video commentary suggestions? When do I go through the video commentary suggestions? I'm not sure. The first half of the show is usually when I say something of any value. The second half of this show is when I just ramble and talk to you guys in the chat. That's basically what a live Q&A is. So does that answer your question? Paul, have faith. God will take care of you and your family. With every child we have had, which is six, including a newborn, he's always provided when it doesn't seem possible, Lindsay. You know, I agree, Lindsay. Don't worry, I'm okay. Like, I'm not too worried about it. It's just a lot of pressure and stress that comes out of nowhere this time of year. I explained it in another live. October is always terrible for us. Always. And we, no matter how much we prepare, we're blindsided by things we can never predict. It's like a cycle, like a yearly cycle. And me and my wife kind of laugh about it after the fact. But when we're in it, it's just hell. It's just pure hell. And, you know, luckily we have these respite moments in the evening where it's a little bit calm and I can think about what happened and go sleep and process what happened, you know. But yeah, it's one of those. Hello, just discovered your channel when I searched Clown Nephilim. I heard this topic in a YouTube channel called Intelligentista. He's a PhD in physics from Brazil, makes video about this stuff too, says Daniel Gatti. Fair enough, I never heard of the guy. I'm guessing he got it from my work. I don't know, I started the whole series and the body of work in 2016. I believe I'm the first person to create the idea, and I authored the book not that long ago. This is like almost a decade's worth of work on my behalf to get that idea out there. I know there are a lot of other channels who have talked about it since, and they brought lots of people to my channel, which is great. So yeah, it's good to know there are other people out there who see what I see. I'm living in America, born and raised, but I definitely identify as Kingdominion. Kingdominion, I like that one. We're all struggling financially. Inflation on food is so bad. It is. It's really bad right now. We're struggling. Our weekly shops, my wife is like having a heart attack every time we get the bill. It's just going up and up and up. And she's like, how are we doing this? I'm not budgeting for this. Where's all the money going? How does this keep happening? It's just because everything is incrementally going up every day to the point where it's just you're noticing it every week now, and it's getting absolutely unbelievable. This is not inflation. This is something else. Like, this is no, no, this is planned. It's demons, bro. That's right. Ex heliocentric. That's true. It's probably demons. Yes, Paul, I saved $1,000 to take my daughter for a mini vacation, but had tire issues and there that went. That's what I mean. Like, we make plans, don't we? And they just get dashed like all over the floor every time. That's just the eternal refrain of mankind, isn't it? That's what we do. You know, we try our best to stop things from falling apart and they just keep falling apart. And that's life. Life is just a series of trying to keep it together. That's what it is. And we're all going through it. And I have, you know, empathy for everybody out there. Absolutely. It's rough. It's rough for everybody. You know, some more than others. Absolutely. Thanks, Paul. I make up words, says Drew. Wendy. Yeah. No, it's a good word. I like that one. The book was very well researched. Well, thanks, Crikey. I did try and try my best. And the second book is also well researched too. It's taking a long time though, because it's heavy. It's heavy on different cultures. And when you're writing a book about people's cultures, you do want to be respectful. I'm not trying to like hurt people, but at the same time, I'm also telling the truth of Christ. And that comes with saying some cultures have it wrong. So it's a bit of a fine line to walk, you know? But at the same time, you know, I'm trying to do each culture justice and represent what they believe correctly, and then give my interpretation on what, from a biblical perspective, where that probably stands on the Nephilim narrative, you know. So it's tough, and it's research heavy, and it's reference heavy, the second book. But I want it to be good. I want this to be a good work people can actually use themselves and find what I'm talking about, you know. Just like the first book, you know, if you've read it, you know what I mean. Is Gnosticism valid? No. Talk soon, Paul. Let us know the cost situation works out. I will do. I'll let you all know what's going on. I don't really know. How long have we been going for? 1 hour 9 minutes. So maybe I'll go for 10 minutes more, guys, and then I'm going to call this a night, just before midnight for me, and then I can hopefully get some sleep. Thanks to the super chats, guys. I appreciate that. That's really nice. Let me just check who we've got up here. I'm trying to see. Just discovered your channel. Someone from Britain with a Harry, £10. Thank you. Thanks, Harry. I appreciate that too. What else have we got? Kendra Mar, thanks for your $10 too. I really appreciate that. And Rusty, thanks for the $5 too. Thank you. And Sebastian, Jesus Christ is King of Kings forever. That's true. That is true. Millionaires are leaving UK in flocks. It's rough. Would you consider moving? I have considered moving, yeah, but I'm not a millionaire and I don't have the means to move so easily. I'm kind of stuck here. So I've got to just hunker down, you know, and make the best of it, like the rest of us. This is my home. I don't want to leave, you know, but sadly, it seems like they're making it harder and harder to stay. But where am I supposed to go? Where are we supposed to go on this earth where we're not under it, you know, under the boots? Like, where am I supposed to go exactly? There's no magical place we can all just suddenly get up and go to where everything's going to be perfect and wonderful on this earth. Like, absolutely not. This is just the way it is, and I think we're called to be where we are as followers of Christ and to bring the kingdom here where we are right now. There's nothing stopping us. We're already citizens of the kingdom. Let's make it manifest on earth as it is in heaven. So yeah, I'm gonna stay here and see what I can do. Just like after the war in Germany, you could have a wheelbarrow full of money and can't even buy a loaf of bread. Well, it seems like it might be going that way, yeah. There are only so many people that actually own slaves in the world. We're talking about that, are we? Just watched the mall dream video. I haven't had those, but often had demons in my dreams and usually takes place in the hometown I grew up in. I've also had Jesus visit me twice in dreams, says Laura. Interesting. I feel exactly the same. I'm thinking to go to Tenerife. I know Tenerife very well. My parents dragged me to Tenerife so many times as a kid, every year, possibly twice a year. Always Tenerife. They never mixed it up. Well, they did a little bit. I went to Turkey, Rhodes, Portugal, the south of Spain, and then Tenerife a lot. Yeah, Tenerife a lot. I know that place like the back of my own hand. I've been to the top of Mount Teide and all the rest of it, you know. Maybe I could move there. I'd know it well enough. Like, it's too many British people there. That's the problem. Amen, Paul. King Dominions. I have the recurring gross toilet world, says friend. Yeah, that's an interesting. I never had the infinite toilet myself. That's something I can say I've never had to deal with. Smash the like and share, fam, says Wendy. That's right, guys. Like the video, hype it, share it, do whatever you do. Or in fact, go to the last video I uploaded, the one about more world. Let me just share the screen with you so you can see what the videos I've got and what's going on. I'll click on my channel, pause that video. It's going to autoplay. Oh, it's the live show. Yeah, if you haven't already, go to check out the channel here, Understanding Conspiracy, and I'll just do some scrolling. So go check out the channel. And if you don't know, I have another channel here called Understanding Creativity. Go check that out. If you haven't, go and subscribe. Lots of extra stuff on there. And if you go to this tab here, there's the live section. And this is where we are now. There's a huge backlog of all my podcasts and Q&As on there. You can go and check out. There's also, I do some shorts every now and then, but rarely, to be honest. I'm not really a shorts guy. I'm a long-form content guy. It's just what I do. But my recent normal release here in videos is this one, the More World discussion. hype this one, send it out, because it's already on an upward trend of 17K. If you hype it, it could skyrocket it up to hundreds of thousands of views, which gets the message out even further, which is wonderful. And that's really what hype can be used for. It gets it in front of people it otherwise wouldn't ordinarily get into. It increases engagement as well. So if you haven't, please hype this video for me. I would really appreciate it. And go back and check out all these other videos I've done over the years. There's a lot here. It just keeps going. Like I've made a lot of videos talking about a lot of things conspiracy related. If you're new to the channel, you know, go back in time. You can see I've been doing this for a while. But if you don't want to pass through all of them individually, you can always go to the playlist section. And you'll find here I have my own original artwork. The Millennial Reign stuff, all the information's in this one playlist here. All the live Q&As like this one will be in this section. All my Tips for Truthers series will be here. There's 37 videos there, all giving you advice on waking up and how to deal with it and the journey you'll go on. And then I've got interviews and collaborations, all my podcast visits and special guests and everything like that is all on there too. Random Ruminations is where you'll find videos about one-off topics like More World, slapped together into a playlist there. And the Truth of Therapy Sessions, my main podcast, is there too. And the Nephilim Look Like Clowns has a full playlist. And Exposing the Occult is an old one, but there's a lot of videos in there decoding things in the media. So you can go check that out too. So there's a lot of videos, 697 of them all together. Over 10, well, maybe like 11 years worth of stuff on there now for you guys to go check out. We did just smash 110K subscribers as well, which is amazing. So thanks everyone for being here. Thanks for all the new people. You can be a member too. There's some members only stuff on there. Kind of, yeah, some old members only live streams. Some more recent stuff here as well for not long ago. But really all the extra stuff and early access goes on to Patreon. So consider being a patron if you want access to a lot of extra stuff on there, which you wouldn't find anywhere else. So that's a quick breakdown of my channel for the new people who've just turned up. And yeah, there we go. I'll switch that back here. And I am partial to making the odd advert or two for my book, The Nephilim Look Like Clowns, as well, if you didn't already know. And I'm going to close this short show out with another advert. It's an advert I made for the audiobook. This podcast started with the advert for Halloween, but the audiobook advert I just created recently, I do want to play for you guys again because it's good fun. And I'm going to have to close this out now, guys. It's late for me. I'm tired. I need to rest. My voice is going. I've been talking nonstop for like 5 hours here. If you do want a signed copy of The Nephilim Look Like Clowns, email me at understandingconspiracy@gmail.com. And if you just want to talk to me, send me a message or ask me anything at all, understandingconspiracy@gmail.com. So there we go, guys. Thanks for being here. Thanks for listening. And as always, God bless.
In a world where 54% of Americans read below a sixth grade level.
Could you read this?
It's impossible. I just see his words everywhere.
One man wrote a book about the hidden truth behind clowns.
I finally finished it. Everything's gonna be okay now.
Links down below to the Amazon.
But he was about to find out.
Your primary market is the USA, and it ranks 36th in global literacy rates, with over 43 million adults unable to read or write.
Getting the truth to people is no day at the circus.
You know, sometimes I wonder if I'm the real clown.
Nobody reads anymore.
Have you considered recording an audiobook?
You're going to get a sore throat.
You're serious about this, aren't you?
You don't understand. I have to do this. The people have to know.
That book will ruin everything.
I will not use AI to record this.
We can't let him reach them.
This is just something I need to do. I don't even like clowns. The end.
Now they can hide that they're completely illiterate. This is amazing.
This season, playing on rectangular devices with black screens near you, the Nephilim looked like clowns. The audiobook.